I want to begin reading here in Genesis 1 and verse 26. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the field, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth, and breathed unto his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, as you and I continue our study here concerning the creation of all things by the hand of God, there's one thing that I'm certain about. As long as you and I live in this world with our limited information that we have concerning creation, and with our limited capacity even to understand what information we do have, I am certain as long as you and I are in this world, we will not understand very much about creation. And it's my personal opinion, whatever that's worth, I would invite science to use all the knowledge that it has and all the tools that it has to study and seek and reach whatever conclusions they can reach in their studies. But I only add this caution to them as well as us, that in our study and in their study, that they be careful that they're truthful and that they're honest and they're sincere in their studies. Because they, just like us, will someday give account of their pursuits. When you and I think about science and its endeavor to study this creation, and we think about faith, what we've come to realize that science and faith have different rules that governs them. Science seeks to know what happened. Science seeks to know how it happened. and when it happened. Faith is content merely to know that it did happen. It doesn't have to struggle with the details. Science struggles with the details. Faith is content to know that indeed it happened. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. God has not been pleased to give us very many details about creation. We only have this chapter and a half in the book of beginnings. Very skimpy, to be honest, is the details of creation. But faith is content with a testimony that God did it. You and I know little concerning the birth of this universe. Very, very little. But we know very little concerning the new birth, the spiritual birth. And how much do we know about the world to come? A new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. John himself said, "It doth not yet appear what we shall be." There's so many things, brothers and sisters, that you and I do not know. In creation past are the spiritual birth, the new creature, or that world that's to come. But faith does not have to pry into all the details. Faith is content to receive the testimony that God has did it. You and I do not know God because we believe He created this universe. Now get this. We do not know God because we believe He created this universe. But we believe that God created the universe because we know God. We do not know God by observing the things which are made. We know God by divine revelation. God is not known by observation, but by revelation. Whether you and I observe things growing in our garden, or whether we go get on a telescope and look at this vast universe, we do not know God by observation. We cannot know Him by observation. The only way to know God is by revelation. Can you, by searching, find out God? Can we, by observing this universe, find out God? He's not known by observation, but by revelation. You and I shouldn't be surprised that so many scientists either deny the existence of God or have some unscriptural view of Him. If God was known by observation, then we would be surprised. But we're not surprised that they don't know Him, because He can only be known by revelation. Let God be revealed to the heart of an individual. Let Him make Himself known to the understanding. And then we have no problems with Him creating all things. Can you and I enter into the intricate details of our beings? I can't even understand my digestive system. And all the nervous system, all the messages sent from the brain through this body, and then to believe that we were created out of dust. We can't enter into the details. Science cannot figure out. We're wondrously made. We know not ourselves, our physical frame. But what fascinates us and what causes us to stand in this holy awe is knowing who created us. We view the heavens in the light of them being His heavens. We look upon this earth and everything that's in it in the light of it being all His who created it. And we look upon ourselves as being created by Him. We begin with Him. We begin with the Creator, knowing Him. And we view His creatures in the light of knowing Him. This is how David said it in Psalms chapter 8. He said, "O Lord, how glorious is Thy name in all the earth. You set Your glory above the heavens," he said. He gloried in his God. He knew his God. And then he comes to the creation. And he says this, "When I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars which You've made, what is man that You're mindful of him? Or the son of man that You visit him? Thou hast made him." See where David began? He didn't begin by observing the creature. He didn't try to reach the Creator through observing His creation. But he begins by knowing the Creator Himself. It's not our viewing God through His creation, but it's viewing His creation through the glorious God, the Creator. Do we doubt God's ability to create? Do we doubt His wisdom? Do we doubt His power? No, not at all. Why don't we doubt? Because we know Him. We know Him. Do we doubt the record that He's given us of creation? Though it be so small, we don't doubt at all. Why? Because we know Him. He's the God of truth. Are we anxious because He left us no more details than He has? No, we're not anxious at all. Our anxiety is due to our sinful curiosity, our desire to pry into things that God has not been pleased to reveal. "Thou, O Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of Thy hands. They shall perish, but Thou remainest." Is that not enough? Is that not enough record? Is that not sufficient testimony for our faith to lay hold upon? "They shall all wax old as a garment, and as a vesture shall Thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But Thy years are the same. You change not." You and I do not glory in creation and our knowledge of it, but we glory in knowing Him who created all things. "And God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And God created man." Here's where we begin, brothers and sisters. We begin with God. That's what theology is. Where does the Bible begin? With God. In the beginning, God. We don't begin with His creature. We don't begin with viewing the creation. We begin with God. Attempt to climb up to God by viewing His creatures and we'll utterly fail. But consider the Creator first and foremost. Then we don't have to doubt His ability to create and the truth that He Himself did it. Bruce, what are you saying? I'm just saying this. Begin with God. Begin with God. There's where we begin. "And God said, let us make man in our image." And God created man. There's something about this, and I can't explain it. But I noticed it by experience. When we begin with God, I mean a saving knowledge of Him, a scriptural knowledge of Him. When we begin with this God, our Creator, we have no difficulty in receiving the testimony of what He's done. We don't have to know the details. Let science concern itself with the details. I wish them well. I wish them well. God knows I wish them well. And where I can, and my limited ability to grasp what they know, I'll glean from them what I can. But when they have studied the creature, and when they have come to all the knowledge they can of the Creator, the creation, and they stop there, they'll remain as empty as they can be without a divine revelation of the Creator Himself. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Someone will ask this question, what does that mean? God created man in His own image. What in the world does that mean? Well, first, let me ask us this question. Are we settled? Are we settled on the first portion of this verse? That's where I intend to dwell this morning. Are we settled on the first portion of this prayer? God created man. Are we content with that record? It's absolutely necessary that we be settled here. God created man. Are we content with that testimony? Does our faith rest upon this truthful testimony? It's a mere testimony. It's a simple testimony, but it's a truthful testimony. God created man. Do you and I feel as if we need and must have more evidence than this? Do we need more of this testimony, or do we need something to confirm this testimony to our hearts? Are we waiting for modern science to confirm this testimony to us? Is our faith laying hold upon this mere testimony that God did it? Science, in its limited study of creation, and you talk and you read any scientist that's worth his weight in salt, and he's quick to tell you that his study is a limited study. It's a limited study. At best, a limited study. And their limited study of creation may contradict our feeble and limited understanding. They search the details, and you and I search out the details, and it may seem that they contradict one another. But true science has never, neither can it, contradict the Word of God. And that'll be proven in the end. I cannot prove it now. And sometimes they may seemingly contradict one another. But it will be proven, brothers and sisters, in the end. In the beginning, God made man, and true science will never contradict that conclusion. Science is always seeking, but is seldom free to conclude anything. That's why you see in their writings, perhaps, or maybe so, or it could have been. That's the way they must write. If they dare reach a conclusion today, They may find out tomorrow that they were wrong in that conclusion. The very nature of science is a continuation of study. They're seldom free to reach a conclusion. But faith, listen now, but faith upon the mere testimony of sacred scripture has already concluded that God did it. God did it. What they seek to conclude, if they can, is faith's starting point. Faith begins where they long to conclude. God did it. Through faith we understand. Therefore, faith in its weak and limited way feels it's free to seek. Seek what? Whatever comes after this. God created man. God did it. That's faith's conclusion. Our great God did it. Our God did it. Our great God did it. That's a conclusion, ain't it? God created man. And here's where real faith begins. Some people are struggling with salvation, with the doctrine of salvation. There's a study of creation, there's a study of salvation. The science of creation, the science of salvation. A host of people are struggling with the science of creation. And some others are struggling with the science of salvation. Some are confused about it all. They want to learn more of the details. They think if they could just understand more. And sometimes they complain about it. I just can't understand enough, they say. If only I could understand more of the details. And their whole problem is just what you and I are talking about this morning. They are concerned with the details of salvation. Whatever those details are, I don't know, but they know. And they've not yet reached that happy conclusion that only faith can reach. That everything that was required for the salvation of the poor, sinful soul has been done already. Oh, what a happy conclusion. We reach the conclusion by heart faith that God did it. He created all things. We settle that. And now we come here to reach this happy conclusion that everything that was necessary for the salvation of the poor lost soul has already been done. That work is finished. It's concluded in the doing and the dying of the dear Son of God. You struggling with the details of it all? Are anxious waiting until we know more? Are doubts and fears concerning our sin and the forgiveness of them? And our knowledge of our utter helplessness and weaknesses and our failings? And we go on struggling about these things, trying to understand more. Such things will never be resolved until we can, by heart faith, reach this conclusion that salvation is done. The work is finished. Upon Calvary's tree, reconciliation between God and the sinner was made. We do not make peace with God. It's already been accomplished. Through the blood of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, He made peace with God on our behalf. Upon Calvary's tree, sin has already been punished to the fullest extent. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. With His stripes, we are healed. He suffered for our sins in His own body upon that tree. And He raised again for our justification. It's done. It's done. We have the testimony of sacred Scripture. Can we bring our hearts to trust it? We can't go any farther, brothers and sisters. Dear soul, we can't go any farther. There's no use looking into the details of it all until we first come with a hard faith to reach this conclusion. Whatever was necessary to be done for my salvation, it was accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ upon His cross. God saw everything that He had made, and He said, "Behold, it was very good." And the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Are we content with that record? That it was indeed finished? And then God did rest the seventh day. Jesus Christ hang on the cross of Calvary in His agony and blood, bearing all, suffering all, doing all in our room and in our stead, as our representative and as our substitute. And when everything that God demanded to be done was done, then He said, "It is finished." Can we bring our hearts to conclude that by faith? Is it finished for you? Are you content with the record? Some people think they cannot be saved now. And they cannot know that they're saved now. That's a conclusion, they say, that can only be reached after their baptism and after their church membership and after a life of religious and faithful duties performed by them. That's a damnable faith. And it's no better than the faith of devils. These things are written that you might believe. Believe what? Believe the record that God gave of His Son. That Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God, and that He has finished the work on our behalf. And what follows? What follows this? Immediate salvation. A full salvation. A free salvation. And an eternal salvation. He that believeth in the Son of God hath at this present life eternal. Why? Because the work is finished. We'll never be settled, brothers and sisters, until we come to this conclusion in our hearts that the work is finished. And when we reach that conclusion, we can begin to look at the work which Christ did in holy wonder and amazement. The glory that is in the cross of Jesus Christ can only be seen by knowing Him who hang upon that cross. The cross will mean nothing until we view it through our knowledge of the Lord of glory who was crucified upon that cross. Do we know Him? Are we viewing His work through Him? Oh, Bruce, I just want to know more. You cannot know more until you know Him first. All the gaining of your knowledge, all your prying into the details of salvation will do you no good in the long run unless you know Him. Let the intellectuals pry into the details. I wish them well, and I'll glean from them where I can. Leave that to the theologians. But I'll say this to them. with all their searching and all the details, all the intricate things of God's eternal purpose, and all of those wonderful things. Let them study those things out if they will. But if they live and die without knowing Him who hung upon that cross and obtained salvation, they'll perish just like the atheist. We must know Him. And knowing Him, then we can look at all His work through that prism. We know the Creator. Therefore, the creation shines in our estimation, because we see it as His handiwork. We see His wisdom in it. We see His power in it. We see His creative glory in it, because we know Him. We know our Savior. We know the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, the cross shines in our esteem. It's here that we view the finished work. It's here we see His grace and His love, as well as His wisdom and power. And it's here we gaze upon His redeeming glory. It's finished. It's finished. Can we by faith lay hold upon that? Therefore we begin, brothers and sisters. Faith begins with the conclusion that the work has been accomplished. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great His pain of searing was, the Father turned His face away. As wounds which marred the chosen one brought many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, our sins upon His shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. Ask me about a lot of details, and I may not be able to answer it. But I know this. It's finished. It's finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. That's where we began, brothers and sisters. We begin with Him, and He's finished the work. If we begin by saying we believe the testimony that God in heaven has created all things, and in the light of that, we begin to study His creation, then we'll do well. And when we say that the Lord Jesus Christ has finished the work on our behalf, and we bring our hearts to rest in Him for it, then that's where we begin. And then we study the details in the light of knowing Him who did all things for us. God bless His Word. Our Father,